Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to our show. Today's show is Got God. Johnny and I are going to be tackling and talking about that old age question, does spirituality and business mix, and can they coexist? Or do we have to leave God at home? I want to welcome my co-host, Johnny Hernandez. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm awesome, Daniel. Thank you. How about you?
I'm good. Boy, what a topic for a trying week. I mean, for me, there's been just one thing after another, and it really, you know, it's interesting that we talk about does God and business, does spirituality and business mix? And I've always said, well, you know, one of the biggest entities, I don't even know if it's called an institution, that exists in our globe today is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is one of the richest, if I even hate to call it a business, the richest entities in the world. And yet they are about spirituality. They are about God. And so, Johnny, interestingly enough, what's your spin on that? I mean, how does one bring that? Because, you know, we are who we are no matter where we go. We can say to ourselves that we're not going to be spiritual or godlike at work, but we're still who we are.
You know, I think that that's actually a great way to put it, and I would like to call something out, Dan, because I think the way you started this call was a beautiful segue into what our dialogue is today, and we are, and I want to get deeper into this conversation about God, but what I think with the listeners, what I want to share with the listeners is for those of you who've never had the opportunity to interact with myself and or Daniel or both of us individually one-on-one, which through coaching, friendship, or whatever the case may be through work, Daniel and I are also we're very good friends, and we've been very good friends for many, many years. And the nice thing about being such close friends, and in my case, I'll be very selfish, is Daniel Gutierrez is probably one of the best coaches that you could ever be blessed to have the opportunity to work with. Now, I'm just fortunate he's my friend because I get to leverage him and his insights, his wisdom, and his experience in life for free. And over these last, and I want to say, Daniel,
oh, you think so?
Right? And I want to step back a moment as we get in this conversation because I believe it's the perfect segue is to your last weekend. And you're going to visit your mother and some of the things that have transpired since then. And I think it's important for the listeners to understand kind of the journey you've been on because, quite frankly, it's your faith that's brought you through literally up until about an hour and a half ago before we jumped on this call. So if you're comfortable sharing to whatever level of detail you would, if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners exactly what it's been like.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. It has been my belief and my higher power, my God. I call it God, my, you know, the divine. You know, I went to see my mother last weekend in Dallas for her 70th birthday. And it was, I took my son with me. She didn't know we were coming. It was a big surprise. I remember her looking out the window, the backyard where the party was going to be at. And she didn't even know my son and I were asleep in the house. We had snuck in at 2 in the morning and went to sleep. And we didn't want her to know we were there so we could surprise her. And I came out into the living room and said, "Where's the coffee?" And she turned around and she looked. At first, she thought I was a ghost. I think she kept looking at me. I said, "Mom, I'm your son." You know, and it was a great experience. It was great. We had mariachis there. It was great to dance with her. It was great to be there, to see cousins I hadn't seen in 30 years, to see my uncles, see my cousins, my brothers and sisters. Everything seemed perfect. Everything seemed like, wow, I remember getting home on this last Sunday, early in the morning or around noon and thinking, what a great time. How wonderful it was to be there and to experience that and to have those memories and have those videos. And then not even 24 hours after I got home, I get another phone call from one of my sisters letting me know that my mother had been admitted to the ER and that she was ill. And so it was surrealistic to experience such great joy and such great depth and pain to think that, my mother was in a hospital and I was here in Los Angeles with no way to get to her immediately. It was a tough thing. It was a tough thing to you know, a lot of crazy things popped through our minds, or popped through my mind about, you know, is she going to be okay? You know, and honestly, you know, Johnny, you're right. I had to lean on what I know and what I teach, and that is that there is no separation ever. You can separation church and state and all you want and say what you want, but as human beings, we absolutely have an innate need for connection to higher power, and a connection to God, a connection to the divine, the universe. And I'm telling you, I think friends like you, Johnny, who were there, that I could talk to out loud, that I could express myself, because at the end of the day, I was here and she was there. And I had to lean on my sisters to take care of her. Thank goodness they're both RNs. Long story short, today she went in for surgery. She had a high pressure around her liver, and it was scary. I talked to her this morning before she went to surgery. She was crying. I was like, "Mother, you're going to be okay." It was tough in every sense of the way, and I know many of you that are listening right now probably have been through something like this. And then on top of all that, I mean, when it rains, it pours. You know, I get a notice from the place where I live, where I have my condo, and they tell me that I can't keep one of my dogs. And it that was the nail in the coffin. I just remember thinking, you know, and I always teach people, don't ever say what else can happen, because it will. All I remember saying is, I just need to understand how much can I really handle, because it seemed like the world was on my shoulders. At the end of the day, I say all that to tell you that everything worked out. Everything worked out. My mom's out of surgery. She went in surgery this morning. She's out of surgery. She's doing well. The pressure around her liver's been released. She's probably back in her room here soon. She'll be going home in a couple days and recovering. And the dog, well, I went and talked to the office and said, this is what's going on. Very interesting when you allow... I guess the reason why I'm saying all this, Johnny, because the other side of the fence is, so anyway, the dog situation got worked out, and she can stay, and I had already put it on Facebook and Craigslist, and you know, of course, I took a lot of heat for doing that, and people, how could you do that? But people don't know your situation. The reason I bring all that up is where does one go? You know, people talk about business and spirituality, or business and God, or business and religion, whatever you want to call it, but when the chips are down, where do you go? I never hear anyone say, oh, I sure hope that organization or company is there for me. They immediately go to some sort of higher power, be it nature, be it Buddha, be it Muhammad, whatever it may be. We don't, which is why this conversation always amazes me, is when the chips are down, where do you go?
That's right.
We all go somewhere.
That's right.
Even for those, Johnny, that don't believe, they go somewhere. And I've seen many people who have said they're what do they call it, atheist and yet somehow in the pits of despair, God comes out of their mouth, you know. And I'm not saying that this is right or wrong. I'm just sharing my experience today because it's so real for me that without that, as you said, without having that to lean on, to connect to that higher power, to connect to my mother spiritually and connect with her and knowing that she was okay, I would have been a basket case. I was a basket case anyway.
Well, I think that's understandable.
But it would have been a different. It's been a different situation, I think. And so, I don't know. I mean, we're here talking about business and spirituality, but I'll be honest with you. How do you separate that?
I don't know that you do. I think a lot of times when people think of, you know, we talk about God. I think is a great example. Immediately, you have your group of folks that say, "Not going down that road." We've used the language even before, Dan, where we say it's an HR hot zone. And I would submit to yourself and our listeners, this is what I would share with you: is get past the semantics, because the reason that I want you to bring that up was, first of all, not only to share with how things came out with your mom and and little Shinzi. I figured I was going to have a third dog here because if you couldn't keep Shinzi, Doreen and I were going to have ourselves a third little dog because he wasn't going anywhere. But the reason I share this, though, that I insisted you bring that up, though, Daniel, was for the very fact that when you sent the note out on Facebook, you had thousands of people, not hundreds, thousands of people
yeah.
respond and say, I'm praying for you. So we see that a lot, and I think that it's important for me to at least get out, is that the power of just positive energy, prayer, just a large group of people coming together in support of one thing, there's nothing stronger than that. And the reason I brought up you being, you know, such an exceptional coach is I think part of, you know, you talk about living a life of abundance, you know, open-hearted thinking and so forth and so on. It's that you reap what you sow. And when you put yourself out there and you help others and you live a life of, you know, values and positive thoughts, positive energy, positive thinking, you attract people that are like that, like-minded folks.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that type of energy, people that live in that type of way, to me, is when you say you got God, it's really simple. It's, do you live a values-based life? Don't worry about, for a moment, whether you're going to church on Sunday, whether you're going to Mass on Sunday, regardless of, you know, how often you pick up the Bible or the Quran or whatever it is, it's how do you practice and what do your behaviors look like, right? Do you steal? Do you sleep with your neighbor's wife? You know, do you cheat on your wife or your husband? Do you lie? Do you manipulate to get your way at work? To me, that's when you say you got God, because it's pretty, when you're alone in the depths of your own mind and the depths of your own thinking, you know whether or not you are living the way, regardless of which higher power it is that you buy into, you know whether or not that you were living in a way that that God would condone and smile upon. And I think that that's where a lot of the confusion comes in, is people automatically say, well, you got God, like, oh, I'm not interested in talking about, you know, religion or, you know, or anything too heavy. It's like a political hotbed. What I would challenge you is take it past that. Take it past what are your behaviors. And I kind of always use the example of my children. No matter what I do, and when I'm in a situation where I have to contemplate going left or right, up or down, I stop and say, which decision would I be proud or comfortable with my children seeing their dad, the behaviors their father exhibit? And when I put it in a context like that, and although it seems incredibly remedial, for me it helps tell a story of, are you really, really living a life that you can be proud of and that you can feel good about, that someday on your deathbed you can go right down the list, check them off, and just say, you know what, I did live a good life. And guess what? I am human. I made mistakes. I slipped and I fell, but I got myself back up. I recommitted. I chose not to make those mistakes again, and I'll be damned. I did it over and over, but every time I got up, always with good intentions, I kept swinging away. To me, it goes back to more about what type of life do you live, what type of behaviors do you exhibit, and do you always lead with good thoughts and good intentions? If you can go forward with that, I think you got God.
I love that. It almost brings it back to a book I read once called The Imperfection of Spirituality. You know, there is no perfection.
Right.
And because we're human, that's not going to exist. I think that I love the way you put it, because I think that we crucify ourselves with the regrets of yesterday and the fears of tomorrow. And yet in the very moment that we're in, and I do want to say thank you to all those people. And it was thousands of people, and I'm talking about from all over the world, from India to Indonesia, from Bali, from Australia to London, you name it, U.S., Canada, Brazil, all over the world. I got notes from people saying, we're praying for your mother. And that brings tears to my eyes, because it's powerful. And I'm not giving myself a pat on the back at all. What I'm saying is kind of echoing what Johnny just said, is that right living brings about right results. We didn't say perfect living. We said right living. None of us are perfect. We're all going to do things that we may not be proud of. But right living brings on right results. And to have thousands of people through Facebook, Twitter, and on my database respond in a way that they did. If we attract who we are, then I'm thankful to the divine that I'm doing something right today. Maybe not tomorrow. Surely many times in my past, no. But today, right here, right now, in this moment. So going back to the ideal, is the spirituality and business makes absolutely, because all we're talking about here is circling back on what Johnny said that I think is very important, is if you take what Johnny said about, are you doing the right thing, are you living the right way, are you living the laws of love, compassion, understanding, forgiveness, those things, then our businesses, whether it's a huge corporation or a small proprietor, it is an extension of who we are. A business on its own is just a shell. It's just an entity. That's it. It's even separate. When you look at taxes, it's separate from you. It's yeah. not, so it's only what you are, what you bring to the table. You know, Johnny, you and I had a conversation a few days or a week back about Best Buy, and you and I were with that company when it was baby. And many of the conversations that were had around the corporate table and around the offices in Minnesota were, will we be able to keep this beautiful feeling of love and compassion for each other as the company grows? Well, the answer was no. And it wasn't because we were bad people or the owner or the chairman was a bad person. It's just that people lost sight. We lose sight that money is the only answer. And folks, you know, I was watching on TV a few minutes ago about what's going on in Detroit, and people are coming out and they're talking to the kids. We should have been doing that all along. You know, I'm not saying that we needed a catalyst to move. So you got things that are happening in our world today. You got Nepal, who had an incredible, devastating earthquake. We have Detroit, Baltimore, that has gone through problems. We have a country that is suffering the downside of a non-connection to some level of spirituality in our world. And I think that you know, we had a show recently, Johnny, that, you know, why women are leading nowadays, and that the Dalai Lama had said that the Western woman would be the savior of the free world. And I think that part of that we didn't talk about then, we can talk about now, is because women tend to be more spiritual. And not because men can't be, it's because they're more in touch with something that is important to all of us. And all this conversation is about something that we all have the capacity to do, and that is to open our hearts. Instead of seeing young black African men or young Latino men or young whatever, that we're seeing our sons and daughters, that we're seeing other human beings just like us. You know, I was watching this interview with this young lady who's been sober for a year and turned her life around, that grew up in the projects there in Baltimore in the Sandy area, and she's saying there was just nothing here for us. We lose hope when we don't have a connection. If we don't believe in something, we'll fall for anything. And I think that when we talk about spirituality and business, I don't know how you can separate them. Because a business without a spiritual component, and going back to what Johnny said, values, is a destructive entity in our world.
Daniel, I think that's beautifully said, and I think it's important that it's what's fascinating is I think people think of these businesses as these big, cold, stoic buildings,
yeah.
Right? Businesses are people. And going back to something even you mentioned about Best Buy, I remember the conversation with Dick Schultz. As we all know, Best Buy, I mean, is one of the greatest and will go down in time as being one of the greatest retail organizations ever on the planet, regardless of who
mm-hmm.
comes afterwards. You know, and the concerns were is when you will go from a small company, and I was blessed to be with that organization when they were teeny tiny, and the founder's original concerns were, when I expand beyond the Midwest and go to both coasts, his concerns were, will that culture and that family-type environment, will that become diluted? And it's just natural. I mean, it's just human nature. I mean, anytime you start spreading that small number of folks further across anywhere, United States or if it's retail or whatever the way that you phrase it, you're going to have, that is going to become diluted. But when you think of businesses in themselves as a group of human beings, and then you talk spirituality, and then you talk about how people live their lives. There is no divine power, that no legitimate divine power that promotes manipulation, that promotes lying, that promotes treating people differently because they don't make as much money as someone else, that because they're black, white, yellow, brown, because they're boys, girls, they're transgender. The reality is this, is the purpose we're all here is to take care of each other. It's to love each other. It's to not pass judgment. And I think that's what's fascinating. And that's one of the things that even, and I'm a devout Catholic, I've said this before, even within my own Catholic religion, that there's folks within Catholicism that are concerned about the things that the Pope are saying, I think is glorious. Now, the first thing when the Pope's asked about homosexuality and gays and so forth, his statement straight out was, it's not for me to judge. And I think that if we could all just for one moment and stop and say, is that the life I'm leading? And that looking at every homeless person, every underprivileged person, anyone that's every executive, anyone in the world that we engage with, whether it's not we see them on TV, hear them on the radio, walk past them in the street, is remember that we're all brothers and sisters. And if that was your blood brother and that was your blood sister, how would you behave differently than the way you're behaving in that very moment? If in business, we behave that same way and look at everyone that we've been blessed, put in a position, been blessed to lead, and or have been put in that position to be blessed to follow. And I want to qualify that. We have all worked for some exceptional leaders, and we've all worked for leaders that we wonder how in the heck they got in their position. In every situation, we've been put there to learn. And as whether it's to learn from that great leader how to become a better leader, or to learn from that leader that maybe was subpar as to maybe not how to lead. But in every situation, if we're thinking from the standpoint of allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, open-minded, but do it in a loving way. I had lunch yesterday. Actually, it was a business meeting with two of the most wonderful intellectual women that I've ever been blessed to meet. One of them I'd met for the first time, and another one I've been working with for many, many years, and I'm doing some things a little bit different, as you know, Dan, with Living with Purpose as we continue to grow the organization. And these two women are an essential part of it. And it goes back to what you said earlier. The reason I loved hanging out with these two women is because they lead with their heart, their passion. They live lives of abundance and positive energy, and that's infectious. And when you surround yourself with people like that and you engage in organizations like that, what you're seeing is a recipe for – I don't care what type of company it is. What you see is a recipe for the most successful business now and moving forward in the future. That's where this world's going, and I'm telling you, you got to get on board. Otherwise, this can be – it may not be a painful ride, but you're certainly not going to enjoy it as much as these other folks are.
You know, it's interesting because when we had the – when we went through the end of the Mayan calendar, I don't remember when that was, a year ago or 2 years ago, my son came to me and he said, Dad, is the world coming to an end? And I thought it was an interesting question from an elementary school kid and where he even got that information. And I remember looking at him because I wanted to be careful not to give him misinformation, but to be truthful in my answer. And this is the answer I gave him, and this is what you're saying right now, Johnny. And that is, I said to him, I said, you know what, Aaron? For some people, it's going to feel that way. I said, it's not the end of the world as the world is, the globe. Tomorrow we're going to wake up and we're still going to be here. But what is happening is that there is a shift of consciousness across our globe to love and peace and compassion and understanding. It is a movement that has started many, many, many moons ago, and it is gaining momentum as the internet begins to become part of our everyday life, and we're connected to people all over the world. We are becoming one because of our connectivity. Because of that, there are many people that will not want to see the world that way, and for them, it will seem like the end of the world. Because it's going to move and shift regardless. And I think that that's the truth about kind of what we're saying here today. Folks, we're not necessarily saying that you have to be religious. What we're saying is that there is an inherent quality within you, almost an absolute need of necessity for connection to each other, for a connection to something bigger than ourselves. And without that, we are empty. There's a study that was done at Harvard many years ago. And the study was, I think, 20 of the top, some of the top most successful men and women that they could find. And they asked them the question, if you could have something now, what would it be? With the exception of two, they all said, I wish I had more time to love. I wish I had more time to be with my family. None of them said, I wish I had more money. And that's what we're talking about today. So I want to encourage all of you, how do I be who you are no matter where you go? Because you are anyway. As a matter of fact, be who you are when nobody's looking. Because that's who you are. You could say to the world that I'm this, that, and the other, but when you're alone, you're still this, that, and the other. Be the person our children believe that you are. Oh, I've always seen also, talking about dogs, that whole idea that we hope that we become what our dogs think of us. Because they think we're something else.
Right. I always love that. Be the person your dog thinks you are.
Exactly, right? So, Johnny, we have about 3 minutes. You want to say something, then I'll wrap us up.
Yeah, I would. What I would call it is, the other thing is, it's not conditional, right?
Yes.
You don't get to pick and choose when you want to forgive, when you want to love, when you want to forget, you know, when you want to encourage and be kind. It needs to be everyone all the time. Can we have off days? Yeah. You know what? We're miracles, absolutely, but we're also human beings, which means we're not perfect. And I would challenge anyone and everyone is to stop for a moment in your busy day, even if it's the tail end of this call, and think of those 2 to 3 people that just really grind you the wrong way, that really frustrate you, that have violated you, that have done something in one way, shape, or form to make you feel like less of a person, and pray for them, or your version of pray, even if it's positive thoughts, positive energy. And as painful as it is, I can promise you, if you can get into that habit, to Daniel's point, what Daniel just realized this last week is the more positive energy and the more abundance you share, the more positive energy and abundance it will come your way. Because the only thing that negative energy does is kill you and get you and create cancer in you faster than anyone else, and has no negative impact on the other person. So God bless you all. Thanks for the time today, and gosh, I wish you a terrific week. And congratulations on your mom's health and getting to keep Shinzy around, Daniel.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to close with one of my most favorite prayers, and just listen to the words of the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek but to console, but to be as to console, to understand, understood, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is when in the giving that we receive, and it is in the pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is the dying that we are born to eternal life. Have a wonderful, beautiful, blessed week, and we look forward to chatting with you next week.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.